What's up, everybody? This week I'm joined by Greg Gregory as we sit down to talk about four classic sports games that were released on the Sega Genesis: NHL, Madden, FIFA, and Evander Holyfield's Real Deal Boxing. That and a whole lot more is to come on this week's episode of the 90s Podcast. Welcome to the show. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're doing well today. This is John here, and I'm joined by Greg Gregory. Greg, how are you, man?
Hey, good. What's up, man?
Doing pretty good. It has been a long week, and I hope everybody's ready to sit down and talk about...
It's only Wednesday.
Right? I hope everybody's happy to sit down and listen to some more 90s stuff.
Yeah, so, man. Yeah, I'm excited about this stuff, man. This is the stuff that I lived on when I was a kid.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in just a second. Let me get the credentials out of the way first. What are my credentials? CosmicMovieNetwork.com, that's where you find all of our archives. Yes, go check out Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's where you find all of our latest news. Don't forget to check out Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, Pandora, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, Amazon Music. That's where you'll find us. If this is not where you usually listen to stuff, because that is important. If you listen to stuff on Podbean and you stumble across us at Amazon Music, that's okay. We're on there too. We're on a whole heck of a lot of places. So, and as you can tell, I did more Monkey Island stuff tonight, so I've got that down pat.
Yep.
Have you ever played Monkey Island?
No, I have not.
Okay. It's a really, really good game. It's puzzle-based.
I'll check it out.
It's sarcastic, and it's made by LucasArts, so...
Oh, so it's fun.
It's fun. We did an episode a couple of years back on Monkey Island. Go check out the archives for it. It's it's actually a pretty good episode. Get excited, especially when I accuse somebody of wanting to borrow a diaper. So
I know Super Monkey Ball, Banana Blitz. I know that one.
So what we're doing today is we're talking about four classic games for the Sega Genesis, and not just classic games, they've all got a theme in common, and that theme in common is they're all sports classics.
So
when I was growing up on my video games, there was two video games that I always played. It's either sports games or beat 'em ups.
Pretty much the same. Yeah, pretty much. I think you were more into like football, and I was more into American football.
Yes.
But there had to be some similarities here and there, and I think a couple of these might be that, you know, despite our geographical differences.
Right. Well, my cousin had a Genesis. I didn't have a Genesis, but I used to play it all the time. Road Rash was a favorite of mine. Streets of Rage. One thing I loved about Road Rash is you could hit a car head on and just fall to the floor. Right? Just literally just fall off the bike. Or you could hit a sign stationary and go flying 3,000 feet in the opposite direction.
Yeah, exactly. But either way, you're just going to get up and just jog diligently back to your bike, like, you know, with your neck broken or something. Yeah.
Like nothing had happened.
But, exactly.
Streets of Rage, man, that was my thing.
Yeah, great game. We talked about that one too in great detail. We talked about a couple of them, actually, I think.
Yeah, one of the things, though, you can't get Streets of Rage legitimately anymore. It's very, very hard to get. Nintendo brought out the Genesis Classic console system thing, like they did with the Nintendo Classic and the SNES Classic. And Streets of Rage 2 is there, but Streets of Rage 1 isn't.
I've got the Steam download of the Genesis Classics.
Is it on there?
And it's got 2 and 3. I don't remember if it has 1. I think it has 1. I'll have to double check that.
Let me check. I just pulled it up right now.
Yeah, I think it's 1, 2, and 3. I could be wrong, though, because I usually skip over 1, because although 1's the original, like, 2 is when they started adding, like, the power moves and a few other grapples and stuff like that. So I just kind of like the story, too, better. But, yeah, the great series all along.
It's game 44 out of 71 of the Steam Classic Genesis game.
Nice. Yeah, there's a lot of really good games in there. Not just that one, but like there's all three Golden Axes and a bunch of other good stuff. If you can catch it on sale, I think I paid like $18 for it.
Not bad.
It's like 71. Like some of them are like, like Toe Jam and Earl. Like I can't really get into that, but there's a couple of them that are. But I mean, to get all the Sonics, all the Golden Axes and then all the Streets of Rage, to me, I would pay $18 for that.
That's a steal right there.
And that's essentially what you're getting, and then like 50-something bonus games, 60, 70, whatever bonus games. So totally worth it if you see it on sale.
It is worth getting it. Streets of Rage is something I played on the Dad Gamer, and I got all the way to the last boss before I run out of continues.
Oh yeah, that game is just so incredibly brutal. That should be a continue, start back at the beginning of the level, like Ghosts and Goblins or something like that. Not like you can't make a game that hard and then put a limitation on continues. That's just like torture, man.
Yeah, it's like crazy. You got 5 lives plus 5 continues, and once you run out of continues, that's it.
Yeah, and I like how they let you change your character if you wanted to. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, if you thought, you know, a different character would be better for a different area. I think they did that later on. But anyways, they tried to accommodate, but nah, it was still hard as hell, man. It was still a hard, really hard game.
But Sega was innovative with what it was trying to do. I mean, it came out in between the NES and the SNES.
So they had
a leg up on the 16-bit.
Yeah, they were kind of the first ones to put their toe in it.
Yeah.
So they were almost the pioneers in a way. You know, in a sense, you know, Nintendo was always going to be Nintendo. We've said that before because they pioneer and do their own things. But I mean, Sega literally came out of nowhere and became a legitimate contender to Nintendo, practically overnight. And it's because of games like this, not just the Sonic, you know, the face of the franchise, but all these other games, supporting titles that went along with it. And these were the cornerstone of that entire franchise.
Definitely, definitely. And it was, you know, Sega had a rough time keeping up because they did go first, and that meant that they kind of got the innovations. And then, I don't want to say copied because that's a bad word, but Nintendo built upon the innovations, and then Sony built upon that, and then you had the Saturn that completely failed. Then you had the Dreamcast that was, like, one of the greatest consoles ever made that very few people had.
But there was just so many flaws that we talked about that. It was priced out of most homes. It had a limited library. Its online features were ahead of its time.
Yeah,
basically the internet wasn't fast enough to support what it was trying to do end to end. So, some of it was a lot of its timing, and I think for this particular little section of games, the timing was absolutely perfect.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
It was the right endorsements, the right types of sports. You know, marketing wise, it was a home run. You know, to use a sports analogy.
Definitely. Unfortunately, we're not talking about baseball because I don't think they made a good. I don't think anybody has made a good baseball game.
You know, the RBI baseball for Nintendo is pretty good. It's still pretty fun. There's a couple of them that are pretty good. But yeah, there hasn't really been like a definitive baseball game. I'll say that. There hasn't been like a Madden type game. Like there's several different baseball franchises kind of battling it out. You know what I mean? Like there's
Babe
no
Ruth
like
baseball
go to. Yeah, it should be. I don't know. Like, yeah, Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth. Somebody like that. Yeah, if they could just get a big name behind it, maybe. But that was what it was all about. This first game was about big names.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And at that time, so.
I don't think you could get any bigger in the world of boxing in the mid-90s than Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, it was either him or Iron Mike Tyson. And, Holyfield shot up really quick. And I think, if I recall correctly, didn't he go like 28-0?
I think so.
Professionally, it was something unbelievable like that. Because I remember playing the game and seeing his record and going, holy hell. Because, you know, by the time I got to him, I think I was probably like 26 and, you know, 10, you know, or whatever it was, or 25 and, you know, whatever it was. So to see a guy who was, you know, clean on his loss column on the professional side, I think I remember him being undefeated.
He was undefeated until he got with Riddick Bowe. That was his first defeat, but he defeated Bowe a year later, and they never and they did get the final end of the trilogy a couple of years after that. So yeah, it was Riddick Bowe handing the first loss, and then Michael Moore and Riddick Bowe again. So,
but like statistically, he's one of the best boxers of all time as far as win loss. It's ridiculous. Like I think him and Mike Tyson are like two of the best ever. So yeah, it's kind of a snapshot of the time because no, you know, Evander Holyfield is not going to be getting any endorsements for much these days. No. But at the time, yeah, it was a legitimate, like, Mike Tyson marketing type that they thought they could kind of create another brand with.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out was a huge success on the Nintendo.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
That was cartoony and, you know,
yeah,
over the top. This is a legitimate kind of boxing simulator. It's Evander Holyfield's real deal.
Absolute.
Boxing. For those,
yeah, I was gonna
who
say,
don't know.
Yeah, the real deal in the title, because that wasn't that
his nickname.
Nickname.
Yeah,
I thought it was cool because you're right. Like it was much more of a natural take on it. Like they were trying to make it as simulator esque as possible.
Yeah.
So I like that they used his nickname as a way to kind of hint that they were doing a more realistic approach than kind of the cartoony Glass Joe and Mac of Punch-Out.
Yeah, definitely. So basically the premise of this game is simple. You know, you've got to become heavyweight champion of the world by defeating 29 other fighters, including Holyfield himself. Now, it didn't have any other named boxers other than Evander Holyfield.
No, the licensing would have been outrageous, probably. So,
definitely.
Yeah, it was all Manny George.
Manny George. One of them.
Bill Costas. Like, just made up name.
One of them was Elmer Thud.
Really?
I always remember that dude. He was a bald guy with a real, real bad mustache.
Oh, yeah.
So, what you do is you create your own boxer, and, you know, you give him a hairstyle and facial hair and stuff. There was a face on there that looked like a 50-year-old man. You know, I guess that was a nod to George Foreman, who was still fighting at like 45, 46 at the time, which was ancient in boxing years those days.
Yeah, most sports are a young man's game, unless you're talking like bowling or golf. So yeah, that's for that, that's pretty ancient. Yeah, definitely.
So this game is on a 2D plane, right? But it simulated 3D movements, which was annoying when you were trying to get at somebody and the camera spun around.
Yeah.
You know, it was... Ugh.
Sony kind of copied a little bit of that with Tekken, with the Tekken 3 on PS1. They were that kind of faux 3D, which we've mentioned before too. But yeah, the sidestep became a big part of like the defensive and offensive positioning in that game. So yeah, kind of similar to that.
And the way this kind of... you had a health bar that you had to deplete to win, but it also had two additional bars. It was like your face and your body.
Like your fatigue?
Yeah, kind of.
Or either power of that particular area, so you could focus in on one or the other.
Yeah, and what would happen is that would turn gray the more it got hit. And like it simulated real blood with cuts to the eye and eye swelling.
Yeah.
It had body punches. You could hear cracking ribs. I mean, it was very, very realistic. Very, very, you know.
As best as they could do at the time, certainly. Yeah. They pushed it to the max.
And of course, the grayer the area, the more damage you do to your opponent, which that always got me because, like, about halfway through, you'd be fighting some guys who'd always be in a vertical stance, and then you'd get some guy who did nothing but attack the body. And
yeah.
That really, really annoyed me, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, spread it around a little bit, but yeah, it's at the same time, I mean, you know where to block.
So that's true.
For what it's worth, just when I had a guy that would work my chest like that, I would duck down and then just uppercut him, just like every time until he backed off. Or a lot of times they just get knocked out that way.
I love the taunting too. Come on and fight, you wimp.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's... Oh, the computers seem to give it to you a little bit harder.
Yeah.
If you said that. Kind of like in RC Pro-Am, like when you blow up one of the other cars, they just come back like they had a second engine installed real quick.
Right.
Jeez.
Well, the thing is, they did do this ultra-realistic, like I said, they had scorecards where you usually scored a 9 or a 10 unless you were knocked down and then a point was taken off. And the only way you could win... there were three ways to win a fight. You could knock your opponent down, knock him out for a 10 count, knock an opponent down three times in a single round, or last the whole fight and win on points.
Yeah, win outright in points. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, you know, that was hyper-realistic at the time. Even though the game hasn't aged well,
yeah,
it's very, very basic.
Yeah, it's kind of racist.
I said basic.
No, just kidding. I said it aged well. Just played it.
Right.
No, as far as it, as far as the layout and the graphics and stuff like that, yeah, it came out in the 90s, so it's not beautiful, but no. At the time it was awesome. It was extremely cutting edge.
I think it was one of the first games I had like a legitimate career mode.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I really liked the realisticness of that, like the way they had it set up. It was very, very enjoyable how you could customize your character, like pretty much as you could think of, short of like putting a weird like
Game Genie
celebration
coding.
Cape to pull, you know, those little capes they put on, like, wee! Like you can't do that, but like you can pick your trunks, you can pick your skin tone and your orientation.
Yep.
Your facial hair, your hair color. Yeah, it was pretty cool. There was nothing in that in depth for character creation that I could remember at that time. So,
and the career mode in this one had a set limit to it. You could only fight 40 fights. So that
I don't know if I ever lasted that long.
No, I never made it the full 40 because after a while, I'll get to that here in a minute. The first goal is to build up your boxer, becoming the heavyweight champion of the world. So you create your own boxer with the trunks and the look and everything like that. But then you also decide whether they focus on speed, power, stamina, or defense. I always went for speed. You know, death by a thousand cuts, I could throw more punches.
A law of averages.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
But by the time you got to fight 20 or 25 in between those two numbers, your character would start declining, so you can't keep up with the routine as easy as you could. Like, you know, your speed drops naturally and everything like that. Because usually in a boxing career, 25 fights is like 10 years worth of action.
Yeah, that's a lot of mileage, sure. Yeah.
So, but, you know, you will be given a chance in between fights to improve your attributes, ranging from free weights to sparring to a health club, track and field, so on and so forth. Legitimate exercises that you need. Yeah, jump rope.
One
of the things the game does is at the end of a career mode, it will get rid of the lowest ranked fighters and bring new ones in there. That includes Holyfield himself, which I guess was not thought of when the man endorsed in the game is ranked 30th in the world.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, it depends on what all happens with everything ahead of it and behind it, you know, and how you play, too. Because if you, you know, if you go bruising through and go 40-0 and are forced to retire as the champion, is that's gonna throw everything on its heels everywhere else. So, yeah, it's possible. That's sad that they let that happen, though.
Right. I mean, you could lose as many fights in that 40 fights as whatever, but if you lost 3 in a row, Holyfield says you're not cut out for this lifestyle, kid, and it's game over.
That's fair. I always thought they could have added some more color to it by saying, like, you got, like, You're done. Your doctor said you're done.
Yeah.
It's like, you took too many blows to the head in a row, dude. You got to step away. Like, you know, just to, like I said, I know it's a little more dark and kind of like real these days, but like, just to maybe at the time to get a little more color. I always thought they could have done that, but I always appreciate that realism.
So. Right. You have post-concussion syndrome and a smooth brain. It's time to take it out.
Yeah, exactly. You need to hang them up. Next one might be your last one.
Right.
So
somebody called me a smooth brain.
Smooth brain. That sounds like a compliment to me, man. That sounds. It's like, oh man, you smooth brain, man. He's smart.
All right,
what's going on?
So you know, this game did come up with a sequel called Great Heavyweights, which is exactly the same game except it had 8 of the greatest heavyweights of all time.
What was that on? What platform was that?
That was on Genesis 2.
Huh. Okay. I've never even heard of that. I gotta look at check that out.
Yeah,
that
wasn't
awesome.
It wasn't as popular as unfortunately.
I think there's a lot of visibility behind the real deal Holyfield boxing. I remember seeing commercials for it and stuff. It came on so much on TV that my mom bought it for me. I think that hypnotized her because I never specifically asked for it.
But it was just always...
it just kind of showed up. I was like, okay, well, all right. Well, she heard all those 40,000 commercials.
I guess advertising does work.
I guess so. It was cross demographic advertising worked, so
right. But it is considered one of the best boxing games of that era, and they did have other boxing games, but I mean, I agree with that assessment, because you know, like we mentioned, Punch Out was all cartoony and
There was no real realism to it. Like down to the movements and the punches. Like there was gravity and physics, bending and breaking moves. And this is just it's jab, hook, uppercut. You know, parry. Like it's actual legitimate boxing.
This
and
is for your
every
boxing
way
fan.
That they could do it.
This is for your boxing fans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. For people that want to get that kind of experience and not have to get hit in the face.
There you go. Trust me, getting hit in the face while boxing is not a good thing, as my recent nasal surgery will attest to.
Yeah. Oh man, I've heard of boxers having to have like dozens of surgeries throughout their careers all kinds of different places for different things. Yeah, man. Yeah, I'll stick to video games.
All right.
Boxing, you guys
can
have that.
Boxing is a tough career, let me tell you. All right, the next thing we're going to talk about is actual team sport, and the next three games we're going to talk about our team sports. But we're going to talk about NHL hockey for the Genesis. This was the first of EA sports simulations.
Yeah,
which is weird to think that it came out in 91, because I thought it came out like in 93, 94 when they started dipping their toes into the sports simulation.
Yeah, but I guess they didn't really have much visibility until they started doing Madden, because that's what's really got them on the map. Because EA was already doing good titles before then or around then with Road Rash and some other ones. They had that yellow little clip thing on the cart. We talked about that in the EA Sports episode, but so they were very distinct. This was hard to miss, but they definitely weren't on the map as a sports game franchise until Madden. That's what solidified it. But yeah, they had some humble offerings, and this was one of them.
I loved this game. I really did. I didn't know too much about ice hockey before I played this game.
Yeah.
And then this game came out. I played it a few times, and then the Mighty Ducks came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was some fabulous timing. Once again, Sega's, they just had really good timing for a lot of things. Like, a lot of things just went their way, and that was another example of that.
And I didn't fall in love with the sport, but I gained respect for it, because, like you said last week when we were talking about in Dumb and Dumber, to be good at ice hockey, first of all, you have to be good at ice skating.
Oh, you've got to be amazing at ice skating. Like, and then you got to learn how to play hockey. Like, yeah, totally. Yeah.
So,
respect, like mad respect.
So, you know, it's a hard discipline to do. But I always remember this game for the fighting, not the hockey. The hockey was just another part of the game, but like you'd end up like scrapping people in the middle.
Yeah, that was kind of like playing like people that were watching racing, like NASCAR racing specifically, they won't admit that they're waiting for the crashes.
Right.
It's like kind of the same thing. It's like ooh, a fight. Like, yeah, I enjoyed that a little too much too. I thought it was cool that they took the realism that far, because there's plenty of games that came out before it that just totally ignored it.
It was just hockey on ice, as
essentially,
ice
or
hockey.
Some of them. There was a couple of them that had. Where there's like a little scuffle where you could like just press buttons, but it didn't go down to a fight screen like this one did.
Yeah.
Like it was just like it, like the Atari ones and a few of the NES ones. It was like a big cloud. Just like, and like whoever tapped the hardest would pop out victor on the other side with the puck or whatever.
It looked like an old cartoon thing where they'd go into the dust and
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like exactly. Essentially. So this, when you actually got gloves off, that was my favorite part. It was like, boom, when they would throw their gloves off. Yeah.
Yes,
all right,
happening.
We get into it now. it's fun.
But, you know, this was, you know, as basic as you got in terms of what it was about. I mean, you take your hockey team and you get them to win the Stanley Cup. That was it. Now, it wasn't called the Stanley Cup because EA didn't have the rights to anything at that point.
But essentially, it was unspoken. But, yeah, the championship. Yeah. The same thing with... our earliest versions of pro football, there was no NFL endorsement, so it was like it was called pro football.
Yeah,
the players were, you know,
random names.
Joe Blow 1, Joe Blow 2, like just totally made up teams, made up. So yeah. So you it was. It actually added later on, I thought, when they actually got people on board as much as they could.
Right.
It adds way more to it, and I think they figured that out too, because the money's all in software. It's not in consoles anymore.
No.
It's so, totally in software. So if you get those the licensing, man, you'll make it back.
Definitely, because you know we'll get to it here in a minute. The next two games that we talk about are going to be like the franchises in terms of what EA does. So you know it knowing the licensing and having the correct rosters and the correct tournament names and so on and so forth makes it hyper realistic. But this one didn't have that because again in 1991, I don't think EA could have afforded the NHL fees.
Sure,
So, but basically you could play a tournament mode or a round robin mode. I liked the fact that the gameplay was an overhead gameplay.
Yeah.
Because in the FIFA series, it was an isometric gameplay.
Yeah, paperboy angle.
Yeah, and you know, you try playing on that, it just didn't make sense because
it doesn't, because the controller has 4 points, none of which are dedicated to being diagonal.
Exactly.
Now if there had been analog stick in that equation or a DualShock stick or something of the like at that time, then it might have been a different story. But at the present time with the analog D-pad, you can't precisionally crank down that corner button every time.
No.
It's not possible. You're going to get it like 1 out of 3 times if you're lucky.
And you might run like a couple of spaces diagonal and then go straight again.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you're a big guy like me and you got big old hands. Like I fat thumb that thing every damn time, dude. Every time.
Oh, goodness me. But, you know, this like all EA's games that would come out, all EA sports games that would come out, it had the best approximation of the rules. But this one was different in the fact that it had the real teams, but the rosters were made up of fictional players. So,
yeah, that was probably were able to get the team rights, but not the individual player rights, because that's when it gets really messy. So they probably did that for either fiscal reasons or just because it was easier. Like literally, just was it worth doing this? You know, for a first run, maybe not.
Not get the teams, but not get the players, because if you get the players, then you've got to do individual models.
And then the players change too, so that's the other thing. So it's a time capsule either way, but it's less of a time capsule because it's generic.
Yeah.
Although I wonder if they, and it's because in some of them where they couldn't license, they would put a number, like it was supposed to be Joe Montana, so they put number 16 out there and they called him John Mountains.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Or, yeah.
I wonder if they did that because I know a lot of other. You know, so you could be like, okay, so that's Joe Montana, and then Barry Mice, it must be Jerry Rice, so I'll start him. You know what I mean? Like,
just getting it. You know, getting the names as close as possible.
Yeah, just parody him hardcore, and they'd be like, oh, it's parody.
Dakeel O'Neal.
you probably couldn't do the numbers. I think that would be too much likeness.
Yeah.
But either way, I remember them skirting around it and going, okay, that's him. All right, cool. All right,
NHL Hockey was considered one of Genesis' best games ever.
It was smooth, very well made. It was a damn good game.
And it did kind of lead the way. It was the pioneer for the franchise games. And one of the franchise games is John Madden Football.
Yeah.
And now it's known as just Madden and whatever year it's coming out in. But this was
Go ahead, sorry.
This was John Madden Football 93. Nice.
they added, maybe it was before EA picked it up, before it became a franchise, but it used to have a way longer name. It was so obnoxious. It was like John Madden's NFL Sports Talk Football, insert year here. It's like just like brought to you by Walmart and Sony and you know McDonald's, like just subtitle the shit out of it, you know.
Well, this Madden game wasn't the first Madden game. The first Madden game wasn't made by EA.
Yeah,
so
precisely.
EA picked up the franchise and put Madden 92, put the original John Madden Football out, and then put out 93. So this is continuing with the tradition of doing the second version of a game.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing sequels is our repertoire. No, but the reason I picked this one is because this one, it actually had, let me see if I got this right. It's the first Madden game to license the team, but this is the first one that had numbers as players. So they didn't have any player names, but they had numbers. So they had the rosters numberized, I guess you could say.
Okay, so you identified them by the number,
but they didn't have
their name.
Yeah, and they didn't have a name, and there's nothing that the NFL Players Association could do about that because a number is a number.
True, but if you had the name or anything close to the name and the number, then you could probably make a case otherwise.
True.
That's infringement on IP or likeness or whatever.
But they also didn't have the rights to the team names either. So it was...
Yeah.
So they only had the rights to the city names. So, I mean, you know, they had Dallas playing in red, for example.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, okay, so it was like Dallas and Arizona. Yeah. It was like a state or a city. Yeah, okay, yeah.
And then it had the numbers of the players, and it didn't give the players any identifiable features. All the players looked exactly the same. You know, all the models were exactly the same, and they all had numbers. And that was...
Yeah, I think that's what I liked about the later versions when they started actually going out of their way to make the players as close to the players in real life. Like, first they just started off with what you're talking about right now, naming them and giving them their number and making them the correct height and weight. But now it's like down to how good somebody can juke or how so much somebody can jump or how good they are at catching with one hand. And it's like, it's just gotten so, so specific. And, you know, going back to that first game really quick, that's one of the games that I think kind of opened up the door for more in-depth sports sims, because they realized, you know, we can do that with a boxing game. Surely we can do this with a football game. There's more to do because it's a team sport.
Yeah. And they were onto something when they did the hockey game. So it's like, okay, let's try another sport and see, put the same rules that we put in there last time, you know, some realism and see what we get. And they did. I mean, this was, again, another game that was played to the rules NFL football that was the rules in 1992, 1993, 1994.
Right.
You know, one thing I liked about this game is it did have, you know, the season, postseason, and the knockout tournament, which led to winning the Super Bowl. I don't think it was called the Super Bowl in this one.
Championship, probably. They just use a generic term. I'd be willing to bet. I can't remember. It's been a long time. But yeah, I'd be willing to say the football championship or something like that.
They had 125 pre-programmed plays in the game, with 70 offensive and 50 defensive, which was
a lot at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some of the early ones, it was like six.
But you got over 125, right?
So when you look at 25, even, that's like, wow. Now I would argue you probably have 300 or 400 in any given playbook. There's a playbook for every single franchise now. And there's you can make custom playbooks yourself with motions and shifts and everything you could possibly think of. So, I mean, it's gotten really, really in depth. For the time, though, that is extremely extensive. I cannot stress that enough. Because I played a couple of those games where I had like three plays. It was run, pass, or quarterback keeper.
Yeah.
Does it? Or maybe one more, like a draw or something, like a draw run play.
Well, the great thing about it is you could pick one of three every time, and you could filter between them on and off. And for some reason, I always picked Hail Mary. I guess it's the Catholic in me. And I could never get this under control because of the fact that the rules were stop and start of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a fan of sports games that stop and start. It's either you play all the way or, you know.
I can understand that, yeah, because it's like, I mean, if you take a football game and cut out all the non-action, it's maybe a 20-minute game. Like, maybe. And we can stretch it out to like 2.5 hours, bro. Like, because it's part of it's the drama, like, you know. The people showing the faces of the coaches and the players, so they have to add something to it, because it takes a lot of time to like set back up and blah 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 blah. So I guess that's why rugby is popular over there, because it's basically just another version of that, where but it's moves. It's more like soccer, where it's like there's action, it just keeps moving.
There's a hybrid,
for the most part.
There's a hybrid game called Rugby League, which is a cross between rugby union and American football.
Oh, that sounds cool.
They every time a tackle's made, you got to stop, not stop the clock and start again and pull a playbook, but you've got to stop, reset, and start again, like in a 5 second, you know, period.
Oh, wow. It's okay, that sounds cool.
So it's like fast-paced American football. It's really, really good. I prefer that one. Of
that
the two
sounds
exotic. But it's popular in Northern England. So
okay.
Yeah. So one thing I didn't mention, I should have mentioned that this game did have official historical teams in there.
Yeah, I did notice that when I played it. I remember that.
So you had the 1977 Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, with the Staubach.
I'm guessing so.
Yeah, Roger Staubach, I believe.
The first football player I ever heard of was John Elway.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
and I don't know too many players other than the ones that my Cowboys fans on Facebook post. So, and it's usually complaints. So,
They're never satisfied.
I've never known somebody who criticizes their own team so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a rough road for him since 1995 or whatever, so that's how it goes, man. Yeah.
So this was the first Madden game to have a coin toss, and it was the last Madden game not to have a license to the NFL teams.
Wow, okay.
This was also released on the SNES, the same version.
That.
But like a lot of the sports simulators, the EA sports simulators did not do that good on the SNES.
They weren't as good.
No.
I never want to understand that to this day because, I mean, once again, we've talked about this before. Verifiably, the SNES is a superior machine.
Yeah.
Verifiably. I mean, from every measurable component and benchmark, without even testing, just looking at it, specifications, it is better.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the Genesis versions of EA games always hit better. Yeah. Oh, it's even NBA Jam. We said the same thing when we talked about NBA Jam a couple seasons ago. It too suffered the Super Nintendo port fate.
Yeah.
That other EA games did. And if you notice now, EA doesn't really mess with Nintendo very much.
No.
Madden doesn't come out on the Switch.
No.
It never has. I don't recall ever seeing Madden on any Wii U, GameCube, maybe on GameCube. Maybe I'm misremembering. But as recently, though, it's not a thing at all that I've seen. So maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe it's the programming language just didn't quite jive as well as it did with the Genesis console.
Maybe. Maybe the SNES was too powerful and they
just ripped it apart.
they focused the EA games on the Genesis, and then when they tried to port them over, they were porting them over to a more powerful machine. So it's like a modern equivalent of playing a 30 FPS game on a 60 FPS console.
Right. So it'd be like taking the engine out of a crotch rocket and putting it on like a 10 speed.
Yeah.
You're like, it's falling apart. What's happening?
Right.
Like, you strapped a, you know, 1200cc engine to it. That's what you did to it.
So, you know, that could be the main reason. They didn't go in hard. And it was only when the PlayStation came out that the EA games kind of left the Sega franchise in the dust.
They've proven to be reliable on every current platform that they're on. I mean, they're successful on everything, but once again, there's no Madden on PC. There's no Madden on Nintendo.
No, but there is.
There's got to be a reason for that. There's got to be a reason. They must just prefer Xbox and PlayStation.
Well, some games are only built for consoles.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact that FIFA is on PC because I get advertisements all the time for it on Epic Games. I got Epic Games because of The Outer Worlds. It wasn't on Steam for over a year and a half.
I got that on Switch, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't started playing it yet, but I have it. It needs an update, and I just haven't gotten around to doing it.
So you need to play it.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I've been extremely busy. I got a newborn, so I've been,
there you go.
You know, dealing with that. So,
so right. Well, this was the last Madden. Like I mentioned, the last Madden game not to feature real things. It was a critical and commercial success, and basically this opened. If the NHL game was the prototype to see if we could do sports simulation, this one was the sledgehammer that kind of broke the
wall.
It
sealed
down
the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the NHL was kind of like, I don't want to say a test, but it was like a stable beta release.
Yes.
for at least what the franchise was trying to do, the framework of what the franchise of that a particular sports franchise for any particular sport could be. Yeah. So they, and this one, I feel like they took that as the framework and just kind of just turned it up a little bit, added a little bit more, did a few more things, did what they could with the licensing and the naming, because, you know, they only got part of that. But they moved forward with the realism.
Well, this one was considered the best Madden of the Genesis era, and definitely the best Madden game of the 16-bit era. Because you know,
it was really good.
Yeah, we mentioned it didn't do well on SNES, didn't play well. But
it
yeah,
the same. Yeah.
And Madden is still released as of the time of recording, and I'm saying that because I'm using it as a disclaimer for the next game we're talking about. Every year they release a new game with new features, new rosters, which, you know, is phenomenal how they keep up with all of that. Now, I don't know if Madden has the same effect on the football world, the American football world, as FIFA does on the soccer world.
Probably.
And what I mean by that is, I'm not talking about the fans. I'm talking about, like, the legitimate National Football League. Because the FIFA database for player stats and, you know, for things like speed, teamwork, power, you know, all the things that you put into the players. A lot of professional teams use that database to scout players.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that sounds stupid coming from a video game, but these games are now so hyper-realistic with their stats.
Yeah, no, there's people on staff for Madden that all they do is just watch games and look at stats, and then they adjust the ratings for players. The players get a ratings adjustment multiple times during the football season after the new Madden's released.
Yeah.
There's a reason they always put it out right when the season starts, because all the rosters are finalized.
Yeah.
But see, now you can go in and update it. Back then, kids, when the game came out, that was the game.
You get what you get and you don't throw a fit.
There's no patch. There's no update. There's no 2.1 Minecraft 4975. None of that. If you got bad dudes and it sucked ass, well, guess what, sugar? You're stuck with a terrible game. Or contrastly, you could pick up Russian Attack or The Legend of Zelda. Boom, you're sitting on a replayable gold mine.
Right.
So that was the thing. You know, you couldn't do that then. So the games had to be sturdy.
Yes.
Now I think we're more careless because we know we can patch stuff up later because we have the internet.
Yeah.
I would argue that.
Bethesda, we're talking about you.
No, never. Plant going through the wall, people.
Yeah. Right. I'm looking forward to Starfield, by the way, for the record.
Yeah, totally, man. I'll check out anything they put out, even to just distract me from Elder Scrolls 6, which is probably going to come out by the time my son's an adult.
Well, I'm predicting 5 years until we see Skyrim 2.
Five more years? I swore we had this conversation in 2016, and you said the exact same thing.
No, this time I think it's more legitimate because Starfield is coming out this year.
So they'll actually be able to put that away and get to work on the new one.
Yeah, because once you release a game, yes, you still got to support it with patches and DLC and stuff like that, but you don't need the full team at that point.
They're going to make another Fallout, dude. You know, they're just going to break our hearts and make another halfway done Fallout.
Or maybe another release of Skyrim. Skyrim's the only game that's come out six
ultra
times.
Ultra Legendary Edition? Super Ultra Legendary the following month?
Hey, it's done well for a game that was released 11, 6, 5, 3, and 2 years ago.
Yeah, 11, 11, 11. And I remember that because that's when me and my wife were going to get married. That was its original release date.
Nice.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, the final game that we're going to talk about, we alluded to it, is FIFA Soccer 95, which was released in 94. Which,
heck yeah, man,
unusual.
That was a really fun game too.
This one right here was the first one to include the original FIFA game was an international game, so you didn't have any teams. You just had the nations out there. So, you know, you could do USA versus Wales or whatever, but you couldn't
do...
Yeah,
it looked like the Olympics or something.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It was more a World Cup game because...
Yeah, a lot of games did that, man. I remember playing earlier hockey games and other games where they were just grabbed... Because you can't copyright a city.
No.
So you can just call, you know, Chicago. Sorry, Chicago, the band, but you know, Chicago is still a city, so you can call that team Chicago. That's yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
So you know, they did it with the international teams, and then this time they tried to get license in, and they actually did manage to get license in of 6 professional leagues in Europe.
Nice.
Brazilian National League and the early USA Major League Soccer. So you could actually play now as Manchester United, Barcelona, Real Madrid, you know, Arsenal.
Some big names.
The biggest of the big. And, you know, but like, again, like all EA games, they didn't have any real players. They had, you know, Dave Smith. But again, like Madden, they assigned the numbers of the regular starting team and then gave them fake names.
Okay, so the numbers match, but not anything else.
Yeah, now they did have some of the players who had distinguished looks. They made specific models for them, even though it wasn't their real names. So players like Ruud Gullit with his dreadlocks, or Fabrizio Ravanelli with his gray hair, 23. You know, they were given legitimate models, which made sense because then you could say, well, that's who it's supposed to be, but we can't call him that. We're going to call him Luciano Perez or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Fabrizio Ravanelli.
Right.
But those are O's, bro. Ain't no copyright there, man.
Ain't no copyright. And this was the first game to take advantage of multiplayer, so you could play up to 4 players at once.
Yeah, I recall that. Yeah, but didn't most consoles only have 2 inputs? Well,
they had those multi-tap things.
Yeah. Okay.
That never worked properly.
Yeah, I don't think I got a chance to even see one of those, let alone use one.
I just want to know who's got 4 friends at the same time playing Genesis, you know.
You know, I wonder that too about the Game Boy when they had like the 4-way tap.
Yeah.
Like you need 4 people with 4 Game Boys and 4 games, yep, and then 4 of those cables. What are the chances of that? Like, you'd have to go out of your way to arrange that. Like, that's not just going to happen organically. Like, right, you're going to have to arrange that.
I mean, the most I hung out with at friends' houses, there was 3 of us. So yeah, we'd take our turns, you know, one player would sit out and winner stays on.
Sure. You know, exactly.
That's how you do it. And, totally. You know, so that was innovative at the time. You know, definitely innovative because, again,
oh, yeah,
you had to buy extra equipment to make it work, but in theory, you know, you could do 3-1 or 2-2 or, you know, 4-0, 4 against the computer.
Yeah, and I was kind of saying screw you to the original design of the Sega Genesis, which I think is kind of cool. It's like, oh, you only got 2? We're going to do 4. All right. Screw you.
Well, it kind of, you know, it kind of, like I mentioned, it had an isometric kind of play area.
Yeah, which, yeah, totally.
Kind of sucked because this is the thing, the other games we talked about were really, really great for their respective, you know, sports. This wasn't a good start, even though it was the second game in the series. It wasn't a good start. Now I always remember you do a hard tackle and you can run away from the referee as he chases you, trying to give you a caution.
Oh yeah, man, I used to slide tackle the crap out of people. I remember just terrorizing people that I was playing this game doing that.
Right. So, you know, it was a very, very hard play. And nobody managed to get soccer games right back then. Because there was only one way to play, and that was kick and hope, as they called it. Just lump it forward and hope somebody gets on the end of it. So it was,
yeah,
like,
so there's no angles and no, like, yeah, finesse, like where they actually dribble and
yeah,
short passes, long passes, yeah.
You couldn't do that, you know.
Yeah.
And also this made, you know, this was before the era of the cover star. Because nowadays, you know, you have the best players on the cover to represent the elite athletes who are playing these games. I mean, this had a goalkeeper and a U.S. soccer star, which, with all due respect to goalkeepers, I'm part of the goalkeepers union. Not a very good one, but I was part of it.
Right.
And, you know, you wanted an elite goalkeeper, not the second choice for Tottenham Hotspur.
Right. Sure,
Or even the first choice for Tottenham Hotspur, or anyone from Tottenham Hotspur, because they were awful in the 90s. They still are awful now. But
that's
I say that as an Arsenal fan. So,
yeah.
But this is considered the best football game of its era, which I disagree with. I think the International Superstar Soccer on the SNES was a better game.
I've never played that, but I heard a lot of good stuff about it.
That one also did the same thing with realistic models, and because it had more data to the cartridge, Nintendo was able to put like 32 teams on there instead of 16.
And yeah, they had that add-on chip thing too, or yeah. That where they like add either memory or RAM or something to it. Yeah, so that, maybe that was part of it too.
Definitely, but this game spawned off into a global franchise with, like, Madden, gets a new version every year, new paint, new curtains.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. It's one of the biggest selling games in the entire world. I think it actually outsells Madden, I think.
Yeah. And
or close to it or around it, somewhere in there.
Unlike Madden, it's got to be patched every couple of months because there are transfer windows. So, during the season. So, you know, you have to update it in February to account for everything that happened in January, and then you have to update it again in September for everything that happened in August.
Yeah. Well, they stopped updating rosters at a certain point on new versions of Madden. They just only, from what I can remember, they do it during the season. But I don't know if they go much further than a year, because the new version comes out, why update a roster if you're trying to sell a new game? So I'm not sure it's certain that you can even update a current roster to an old game. But I know that there always are roster updates available. That would be cool if it was across every platform. That would be pretty cool.
Right. Well, you know, it's like you said, it's they have to spend money on a new game every year. So one way to play it is, you know, hey, we've got a new hat. Look at this guy.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. We've got him traded from the Cowboys to the Lions, you know.
Right.
So, look at that. I use American football knowledge. That'll probably be the last time you hear my knowledge on here. Now, this is unlike any other franchise that EA has done. At the end of the last game, FIFA 23, will be the last FIFA game.
Really?
Yeah. Now, the game series will go on, but without EA behind it.
Oh, so their contract is expiring or something?
Contract's expired, and EA is
just walking away, or
EA's walking away, but they're taking the major licenses with them.
What does that mean for the game?
Well, this is the hard thing, because it's an officially licensed product of the governing body.
Okay.
Are they going to be able to license the teams, you know, and the leagues, when the leagues and the teams have already licensed with EA? This could be a very, very good legal quagmire.
Yeah, that sounds crazy. Yeah, that could get really messy really fast, because you have the team, and you also have individuals wrapped into that.
And
those individuals are changing all the time, because people get cut every year.
Yep.
So there's going to be people next year that are in the game that aren't involved with the NFL at all.
Yep.
But they still have a say, because their IP and likeness is still part of it.
Yeah, and
it's so messy.
It's going to be messy, because unlike Madden, you know, and NHL, they weren't official licensed products of their respective. You know, it wasn't called National Football League 93. It was called John Madden 93. So
precisely.
So when you use the official world governing body who does the World Cup, and then they can't use the World Cup in their game.
Because they got to skirt around it.
Yeah.
Or they got to find a way to get the green light to use it. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. Or do nothing and sit on their hands and let a $1 billion franchise just float away.
Definitely. And you don't want to do that.
And not if you can avoid it. And I mean, not just for the sake of making money, but I mean, people love that game. That game is huge everywhere. And in America, worldwide, especially in big soccer countries in Europe and Mexico, South America, huge, huge game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My cousin gets a new one every year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's millions and millions of people like that. It would leave a huge gaping hole in the video game market if it did disappear.
Now, like I said, EA is carrying on with EA Soccer 2024.
So they're doing their own thing?
Yeah. So it's basically FIFA and it without the name, basically.
So they're just shedding away the FIFA
name
moniker, essentially. And
yeah.
I wonder if they're going to use a different engine or separate themselves any further than that.
They might, but like I said, they now hold the rights to the top leagues in Europe.
So FIFA's not, I mean, they're not strapped for cash.
No.
So I bet, but I mean, how much of their success is from points off of these recurring franchises, though?
Yeah, I mean,
again, certainly probably couldn't have hurt their bottom line.
No, I mean, look, the World Cup this last year in Qatar made them a lot of money, but they'd make that money, the same amount of money, with this one game.
Yeah. So now they just have to find somebody else to design their game, and right now EA is the best of the best when it comes to sports games.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the genre. I mean, they're the best.
They could go to the 2K market.
2K, yeah. 2K was always the Burger King,
yeah,
of sports games. You know, like EA being the McDonald's, if you will. I mean, I don't know. That's a whole nother kit and caboodle. Because they're both good, but like if you look at them from financials,
yeah,
McDonald's is always doing a little bit better than Burger King, or way better, one or the other.
I guess
both have good food, so whatever.
I guess another analogy is 2K's slogan should be, "We serve Pepsi here. Is that okay?"
Yeah, there you go. Well, I had like an NBA 2K game and a NFL 2K game, or whatever they called it, and they weren't bad. I just think our generation, especially like people that are 30 something, 40 something right now, like we got so used to the ways of Madden.
Yes.
So everything else just feels too forced, too much, too phony. Like, cause when I played the 2K one, it was like, I can't remember exactly, but it was almost like, it's like, okay, hey man, which jockstrap are you gonna wear tonight at the game? Like, whoa, dude! Like, yeah, we don't need to be that. Like, I just want to put the team out in the field and like do some plays. And it was really complicated. It was like so complicated.
Well, see, people of our age, right? I've always had an iPhone. When I first got my first smartphone to the smartphone I have now, it's always been iPhone. There's a reason for that. The reason I'm probably gonna update, when I update my phone, I'll probably get another iPhone, is because I'm too old to learn another operating system right now, and I can't be bothered to learn how an Android works.
Oh yeah, if you hand me I use iPads exclusively for my side hustles, just because that's what I was given first to use them, and I got accustomed to using them. My son has a Samsung Galaxy something, and every time he hands it to me, like it might as well be like something written in Klingon that like is sealed by a kiss and a sacred tea that I don't know how to make.
Right.
Like it should be like, I mean, it might as well. Cause I don't, where the power, is there a power button? Like, how do you turn this? What is this thing doing? Like, I don't even, so yeah, I feel you on that, because we hit a certain age where you're like, you know, I'm going to keep this cause I'm used to it and it works.
Yeah. Technology. Boom. I'll catch up with you. Technology. Go on ahead.
Yeah. I'm only at iPhone 10, dog. I'm several years behind.
Oh yeah, but it's you know, it's the same thing with the new video game systems as well. I mean,
sure.
You know, I'm a generation behind. I've got my Xbox One, and I've got a game,
yeah,
and I built my gaming PC 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been that long since I built it.
My custom build's already 5 years old now too, man. I got it in 2018.
Yeah, so I mean, you know,
it's like that. It's already obsolete.
It's obsolete already.
Yep.
And you know, it still works, but like I can't get Windows 11 on the Batman.
Yeah, I can't get it on mine either.
So you know, it's really weird. And we've got a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One. We haven't upgraded yet, and
the only new gen we have is Switch. That's it.
Yeah, and even then, that's probably gonna be another year before they bring out the Switch 2.
Oh, they just released another version of it though, the OLED version. My son wants it so bad. I was like, it's only a slightly bigger version. It's not really that different.
Does it look the same on the TV?
I don't. You know, I saw a demo. I saw it itself. And it looked bigger. It looked a little bit sharper. I'll give them that. It looked like there was maybe a few more FPS or, you know, resolution bump here and there. But it literally just, like, looked brighter and bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But it's still cool. Great, great console.
You can play Skyrim on it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
You'd be able to play Skyrim on the Genesis before too much longer. They'll backlog it.
You'd be able to play it on a freaking smart refrigerator before long, man. The way that thing is just getting passed around, man, like crib notes in a chemistry class or something.
I've actually got an Alexa, an Alexa machine. I don't know the name of it. I just call it Alexa. That you can play the Skyrim Super Duper Edition on her. Where she where she tells you, okay, you were coming up to a troll den. What do you do?
Oh, okay, it's like verbal Skyrim, kind of like D&D, yes. Kind of. That's cool, man.
They did they did a commercial for it a few years ago with a dude from, I think it was Jordan Peele.
And yeah, oh, I
it's
love
like,
him.
You've been struck by the troll. You have 15 points of health. What do you do? Do I have any health potions? No. Do I have any cheese? You have 52 wheels of cheese. I eat all the cheese. And his wife says, honey, you're lactose intolerant.
I now have insane diarrhea.
Right. But, yeah, so what do you think was the legacy of these four games? Do you think that they were able to build a market? Because I remember EA got into the boxing industry with Knockout Kings, which didn't go over as well as I thought it would, because I loved that game.
Yeah, no, it didn't. It really didn't. They tried to do other fighting games too. There was another one. It was like, it had like rappers in it. I'm totally forgetting the name, but it was like, it was just totally over the top, like physics defying type thing. And that didn't, it failed. It was kind of entertaining to play, but ultimately it failed. I just don't think that that's what they are really good at.
No.
And I think the proof's in the pudding, because even though they had a really good offering with Real Deal Boxing, that all the other franchises outshined any attempt that they had at a fighting game outside of that one sole boxing game. And not to say that the boxing games they put out were failures, but they'd never
hit the heights.
Succeeded at the amount that the football and soccer and hockey games did.
Yeah.
Not even close.
No. But do you think that EA will survive the pandemic? Because a lot of video game studios didn't really survive the pandemic with the success rates. People lost their jobs, so they weren't buying as many video game systems as they were. We all know about the shortages of PS5.
The chip shortages.
Chip
in general.
Shortages, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think EA will continue making good games in the future? Good sports games in the future?
Yeah, I think so. I think they've been propped up pretty well with Madden alone. And they honestly, man, like, they've practically gotten away with putting a new coat of paint on it and a new guy on the cover and tossing it out there several years in a row. The first year I remember noticing that was 07, because at 06 came out and they added a lot of cool stuff, like a hit stick, and they added this thing. It's like, there's some kind of like sense thing. Like it's like if you could see an opening, if you moved your other stick that way, it would like kind of juke in a really, like move in a really athletic way, like quickly that way.
Yeah.
And this like hits truck stick thing, they added that. I was like, oh, that's so super cool. And the next year they literally put Vince Young on the cover and it was, everything else was the same.
Just updated the rosters and called it good.
New coat of paint, new dude on the cover, you know, maybe, like they put a little bit more into the cutscenes and the realism of players. But for the lack of argument, they've succeeded over and over again with almost the same game year after year.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides of these games.
They try really hard by adding these different modes. Like they tried these things like with cards, where you could like unlock different player abilities and legacy players and stadiums. And it was actually kind of cool, but it doesn't seem like they can really stick with anything. I don't know. And I get it, they're not trying to be too samey, but it's like, sometimes you want some of those things to move over.
Yeah.
Like if you work hard on them, you want to be able to like import that stuff over. And they used to be a thing where you could import. It was the coolest thing ever. Back when they had NCAA football, if you could, okay, say you had like a college class that you did a 4-year career with. Okay. At the end of that 4-year career, you could import that class into Madden.
Really?
Yes, and then you could draft them into your franchise and have all their stats, all their everything there, sitting there waiting.
That's cool.
There was a way to do that, and that, you know, that would be super cool. So they need to, in my opinion, if they, I know it'd be a nightmare logistically because unless they used fake characters, but it would be cool if they would have forward mobility like that for players that you create. That was the other thing that bothered me. Like, players that you create, you need to be able to move them forward. So I think if EA wants to be successful, they need to focus on features like that to move themselves forward.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of the sports franchises do update every year just for the sake of it, you know. One of my
people want it. I'm not saying it's a ripoff or they're bastards or anything for doing it. I'm just saying, like, it's essentially what we're looking at. It is, yeah. People want that new roster. They want, because logos change, stadiums change, coaches change, things change.
I'm waiting for, like, one of my favorite game series is the Football Manager series.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for them to keep the same engine and just do an up, you know, just here, $20. Here's the new roster for the season with, you know, with the updated timeline. Boom, here it is. Thank you very much.
Like a DLC, like a 2024 DLC.
Yeah. Just, you know, give yourself a break, and instead of slapping a new roster, a new coat of paint on everything and changing the team's positions and so on and so forth, you know, create a new engine.
And just, boom, pop it in there and you're cooking with oil.
Make new features, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they want. That's what people want. They want new features and new gameplay as opposed to the same old.
I agree with that, but I also think with the new consoles and how much better televisions have gotten, like with you know, mapping and frame rate and stuff, I think people also want realism, and I think that's what Madden's really been focusing on the past couple years, because they were showing a side by side of like Tom Brady in the game and Tom Brady on the field. I mean, unbelievable, because if you go look back at like the polygons in PS1, I mean, we're in like a whole nother freaking universe, not a different ocean, not a different planet. We're like a whole nother universe graphically.
Yeah.
So I think people want that too. I think people want features and gameplay, but they also want realism, because that's the whole point.
Yeah, and that's one of my biggest gripes about modern gameplay. People will say, well, the graphics are not good, so I didn't play it. And it's like, oh, but you're missing out.
Yeah, that's not everything. I mean, a good game is so much more than that. But first and foremost, the games, you've got to be able to play it. It's got to be playable. So the gameplay, to me, is the most important thing. Graphics, there's something about bad, quote-unquote, graphics. Or, you know, I mean, hey, you could argue vanilla Minecraft has bad graphics. That's the most popular game in the entire world by a long shot.
Yeah.
So it's not always about graphics. It's
the gameplay.
That's an elitist view, in my opinion.
PC Master Race on deck. No. all right, we're gonna leave it there. Greg, man, thank you very much for coming on board and getting your opinion. It's been awesome to hear.
Sure, man.
Go back down the memory lane of
good stuff.
Of video games, and because, you know, you and I are big music guys. And it's nice to step away for that and talk about the second biggest love of video games in terms of entertainment, or at least in my case. Yeah. But we will be back next week. You and I will be back next week with Aladdin.
The video game?
The movie.
The movie, okay.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a great video game.
It was a great video game. I did a playthrough of that one. It only took me 50 minutes to beat.
Yeah, I watched most of that, actually.
And it was
very, very good.
It was very good gameplay, but unfortunately, like I said, it was only 50 minutes.
You made it look easy, man.
Oh, thank you.
I had some problems with it, but I was a kid the last time I played it, so that's probably something to do with it. But yeah, dude, awesome movie. I got some stuff I want to talk about on that one, so sweet. I'll be ready for it.
Nice. So we have Greg back next week, and I'll be back here in a couple of minutes to give you an update on something. When is this coming out? I don't know. This is coming out. I can't remember. Anyway, I've got to give an update on something, so I'll be back here in a couple of minutes. Greg's good to have you on, man, and we'll be back right here in a few seconds.
Peace. We'll be right back.
sincere thank you once again to Greg Gregory for taking the time out of his day to talk about some of these games. It's been fun having him on. And congratulations are in order to the Gregory family, because as he mentioned during the recording, that he recently had a newborn, which is part of the reason why we haven't been able to get together. He's been very, very super busy being dad with a new baby smell. So next week, we'll be talking, as we mentioned, we'll be talking about Aladdin. And I'm looking forward to that. One of my favorite Disney movies. Definitely real, real funny, thanks to the great work of Robin Williams. And we'll get to everything about that next week. On our YouTube channel, I want you to go ahead and keep watching our Monkey Island series. Yes, we're still continuing Monkey Island. Monkey Island is going well. Guybrush is still getting into trouble. And hopefully you guys are around to watch and see what trouble he keeps getting into, okay? Also, I want to thank everybody who watched yesterday's stream. Thank you very much. I haven't actually done the stream yet, but I want to thank everybody for watching it. And next week, on April 8th, we're going to be continuing our stream. So yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. So that is it for this week. I don't really have anything to say. I said I would have some words to say. I actually don't. My brain has gone blank. Maybe I was just trying to sign off quickly and didn't know how to end these things, because I never know how to end these things. I know how to start them, but I don't know how to end them. I just usually end up waffling, which is kind of what I'm doing right now. So so that being said, if you want to go ahead and check out our archives, go check out becausemenetwork.com. That's where you'll find them all. Go check out our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for the latest news and happenings. And of course, if you're listening to this on a podcast service that's not your usual place to get podcasts, we are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, Pandora, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and Amazon Music. So yes, that's a lot going on right there. And that is it for this week. I really don't have anything to say other than we'll be back next week. Next week we've got monkeys and Mario and Greg. Gonna be a fun time. Oh, and genies too. You gotta have the genies in the bottle. So yes, again, I'm waffling. I'm just gonna get out of here. Everybody take it easy, and we'll see you next week. Take it easy, everybody. Bye.